Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. Today, featuring a little printed newsletter that I get from the International Campaign for Tibet. Tibet Watch. I've been getting this for many years. They send them a few dollars every year. And the fascinating thing about this little newsletter is it comes in print. Remember what that is? Printed form with staples. About 12, 16 pages, chock full of information. But the amazing thing I've noticed over the years is that I learned stuff in that little newsletter that I have not seen virtually anywhere online in any article. It's never, ever mentioned, hardly ever, if at all, in analysis about China and politics and yada, yada. But the information comes in that newsletter. And I find that very curious. Some of the things that don't get mentioned are, maybe you can find it online, but I certainly read a lot of news and articles, and I don't recall seeing it. One of the things is very similar to the treatment of the native peoples. The Chinese destruction, and some of this is historical, some of it's still going on. The Chinese destruction of Tibetan temples, their forced schooling and punishing and jailing people for, you know, having a photo of the Dalai Lama, that kind of stuff. Now, Tibet is a very spiritual country. I read the Tibetans, I don't know about the country still, but anyway, of Tibetan culture. I remember reading that a while ago. It was like, it was huge. It was like the opposite of America. It was like 80% of the children go on to study, to go to a monastery to pursue, quote, pursue a spiritual path. And nuns as well. They're much more accepting of women nowadays compared to some of the history. So it's very interesting that along with the native and indigenous peoples that have a highly integrated, age-old, systemic lifestyle of spirituality, the connected with the material, the earth energies, and all that, that this culture is, you know, suffers so much abuse. So in this month's newsletter, there were several things that stood out. So I want to share those. Tibet is ranked the least free country on earth. Tibet is the least free country on earth in a tie with South Sudan and Syria, according to new rankings from the watchdog group Freedom House. In Freedom House's Freedom in the World 2022 report, Tibet has a global freedom score of 1 out of a possible 100. In response to the ranking, International Campaign for Tibet said, "The world is seeing right now what happens when authoritarian governments invade their smaller neighbors. In order to protect freedom around the globe, we have to demand it in the places that are least free." So that right there speaks huge volumes that some of the most spiritual, you know, I don't like to rank as most or not, but some of the outwardly an age-old, most spiritual, most holistic cultures and traditions are some of the worst treated. So think about that and why the earth is going through climate changes. And then another little story here that got my attention, which is, again, reminded me of the all-too-prevalent statistics on many of the native reservations of suicides. This is a self-immolation report. Since 2009, 158 Tibetans have self-immolated in protest against the Chinese occupation of Tibet. ICT, that's International Campaign for Tibet, ICT reports with sadness all those who choose this form of protest. Popular Tibetan singer Tsewang Norbu, age 25, self-immolated in the Tibetan capital of Lhasa on February 25, 2022. Leading to his death. Sources in Lhasa told ICT that the singer attempted self-immolation in front of the iconic Potala Palace, the historical winter palace of the Dalai Lamas. Reliable sources have confirmed that he suffered extreme burns and subsequently died in a nearby hospital, and that security has been deployed in the hospital and throughout Lhasa to keep his death a secret. Tessa Wong's style of singing blended Tibetan, Chinese, and Western influences, and he became well known throughout the region via reality TV singing competitions. The people of Lhasa are under heightened controls following his death. And yet another similarity, I think, in the U.S., also known as Turtle Island, most of the water, most if not all of the rivers, I think hundreds or thousands, I forget the statistic, of rivers have been dammed. And it's been proven that the dams mess with the natural flow of the water, affecting the fish and the habitat. It's a man-made, maniacal attempt to control things. So here is a letter. You can sign the letter to Undersecretary and Special Coordinator for Tibetan Issues, Uzra Zeya, from a concerned U.S. citizen. Is the form, and the letter says, I write expressing deep concern that China's Xi Jinping regime is accelerating its openly declared plan to continue building massive water control infrastructure on the major rivers flowing from Tibet. These rivers are the lifeblood of the entire region, sustaining up to 2 billion people. Currently, it is part of the United States' commitment to human rights to defend people's access to food, water, and self-determination. The massive damming is also a clear and present danger to U.S. national security. Allowing China to continue its agenda unchallenged risks fueling existing border conflicts and regional instability. It also risks diminishing the United States' regional influence, thus impeding its ability to partner with other major democratic nations, further isolating Tibet, while also bestowing China increasing control literally and diplomatically. Simply put, China's weaponization of water demands greater U.S. engagement in the name of human rights, national security, and the fate of billions of people. So, yeah, it sounds... The interesting part to me is about the China, what they're trying to do to the water. It's a mixed bag there because, you know, who is the U.S. to go around talking about human rights and... China is number one on their overthrow, or the great power competition. China and Russia are the two, which China is actually number one, from a recent article I read. And Russia is being used as a way to get to China, to control, you know, there's tons of business and resources and on and on. So there's that factor. And then China... China, that's a whole topic there, a geopolitical analysis of China is actually doing some, you know, in a non-military way, they're expanding industry, the Belt Road Initiative, but it's not as, they're not out there building war bases as the U.S. has done. The U.S. has done for like 50-something years, up to like 1,000 army military bases. So that whole geopolitical stuff is convoluted, and that's not the point of this episode. It's just the episode is to draw attention to the plight of the Tibetan people and to highlight the comparison to the similarity with other cultures that are highly in tune. What I've studied, the little bit that I've studied of Tibetan Buddhism, they have the in-depth level, I would call them masters of mental or psychological, even though it's really holistic in a way, psychological analysis. An excellent book by the Dalai Lama, The Universe in an Atom. There's a chapter on just the way they analyze, like if you're angry or sad, you know, where that mood is coming from and what prompted it and what associations and on. So these people have deep, deep historical traditions and ways and information that is essential for the well-being of the mental wellness and spiritual wellness of people worldwide and with the planet, with Mother Earth. So that's why I draw attention to why are these people being, you know, maligned and mistreated this way. So thank you for listening. Have a good one. Be well.